Did you watch the new episode of Game of Thrones last night? Maybe you watched it legally, but it's also likely you found a way to download the show without paying. Australians are the worst in the world for pirating the show. But is there any way to actually stop that, or is the genie well and truly out of the bottle when it comes to piracy? Dr. Brett Danaher is a visiting research professor of economics at Carnegie Mellon University and knows a bit about this and joins me now. Dr. Danaher, you've been looking at whether court-ordered site blocking of piracy sites actually works. Can you explain it first? What do courts in the countries that you've actually studied do?
Sure. So with court-ordered site blocking, essentially the courts order internet service providers to block access to certain websites that have been identified as piracy websites.
What did your research find? Does it actually work once that happens?
Turns out that it depends, and it depends part on what it means for it to work and also on how many sites you block. So in one case where the courts ordered the Pirate Bay to be blocked, that was one major piracy site. That did, in fact, decrease pirates to the Pirate Bay, of course, but it only had a small impact on total piracy, and it didn't cause any increase in consumption through legal channels like Netflix. On the other hand, later, when 19 sites were simultaneously blocked, in that case, it caused a meaningful decrease in total piracy and also a 12% increase in usage of paid legal streaming sites. So in that case, I think it was effective in converting users from illegal sites to legal consumption.
So if we block sites distributing content illegally, isn't it possible that just more spring up in their place? Isn't that the logical conclusion of that? Because obviously pirates in this space are trying, will find other ways to run their business model.
So I think that's partly right. I think it's true that both when you block sites, people will divert some of their traffic to other unblocked illegal sites, and also that new illegal sites will pop up in their place. I think that is correct, and we find evidence of that. But it's also true that when you block enough sites, you do make piracy inconvenient. So people have to learn to find another site or find another site that they trust. And at least some people seem to find legal channels preferable to that.
Is there any evidence about the impact of blocking several sites at once and what it has on long-term use or revisiting going to these sites? Do we know what happens, you know, beyond a couple of weeks or a couple of months in the longer term?
I think that's a very good question. The longer that you try to study, the harder it is to be sure that you can attribute what you're observing to the true effect of the blocks. So our studies, we study for about 3 to 4 months after each set of blocks that we studied. I think it's possible that people may, after going to legal, that some of them may start to trickle back to piracy as over time they may learn of new piracy sites. That's why additional waves of blocking, even if they have diminishing returns, may actually serve to maybe prevent this return to the status quo.
It's also about having legal avenues to watch these films, these TV shows too, isn't it? Having an easy option to pay and also kind of a pay rate which seems reasonable to people. That's been the other part that's been lacking in this formula that's put people off as well. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with you. We have research at Carnegie Mellon showing that, you know, firm strategies like how quickly you make content available, how convenient you make it, how you price it, definitely move the dial in terms of piracy and legal sales. Whether or not that's lacking probably is something that you would evaluate on a country-by-country basis. I think that one of the things I have seen is that the movie industry and the television networks have been, they're aware of this and they have been moving the dial in this. So international release windows for movies have been decreasing for years to the point where now in Australia, most of the major movies are available in the box office the same weekend that they were available in the US.
The first cases using Australian legislation, we have now legislation in relation to this that allows for site blocking, have stalled in the courts over the question of who'll actually pay. I mean, some internet service providers put the cost of blocking a domain as low as $50, but others have said it's between $400 and $800 a site. There is a real struggle here. Australia is really struggling to get someone to pay to block a couple of these sites. How do you get around that?
As a scientist, you know, I trust what I can find in the data. I don't know exactly what the cost is for ISPs to block this, and I'm not exactly sure how we determine who should pay that cost. My studies are mostly about the effectiveness of what happens when you do.
Given your research, is it worth blocking only one at all then? Or do the ISPs have to cough up and block a whole lot all at once for it to be meaningful?
In order for it to be effective, it appears from the research that it needs to be a number of sites blocked relatively at the same, you know, simultaneously. Blocking one site by itself may, you know, from a legal perspective, perhaps it helps to set a precedent, but it doesn't appear to be effective in reducing piracy or in increasing traffic to legal sites.
Many thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And that's Dr. Brett Danaher. He's a visiting research professor of economics at Carnegie Mellon University. He's here presenting his research at an event run by the Australian Screen Association. You're listening to RN Drive, 0418 226 576. Has it become easier to actually get your TV shows, get the movies that you want on demand without having to really turn to pirating and getting these shows and these movies illegally? Have you found it easier? There's always been a debate about how easy it actually is to even access in the first place, even at a cost, some of this stuff. 0418 226 576.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.